has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Fathers, we come before you, Lord, and we stand in your presence with our feeble selves. We come before you, Lord, with grateful and thankful hearts that you have overcome, that we need not fear, we need not be worried, but we need to be walking in your peace and in your love. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. Not only that baby in the manger, but what was to come and what still is, that he is alive. And we serve a risen, alive Savior. God, so much to be thankful for. God, be with Ron as he brings the message this morning. Again, I pray that it falls upon good soil, that we walk out changed and challenged and not just having our ears tickled with some cool phrase, but that we walk out different. We walk out being the light, and we walk out being the people that you have created us to be. We praise you, we love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
So hang on. So what's happening? Hey, what's up? My name's Ron, and I am the lead pastor of this church today. Maybe not tomorrow. I don't know. But anyway, I might send me packing. But no, just kidding. We are so glad that you are here today. I am running on empty today. Physically, I don't feel good, and I'm going to do us all a favor, though. I'm going to give you all I got, and I'm going to do my family a favor, because when I get home, I won't have any voice, and they won't have to listen to me, okay? So that's a good thing. So how many of you had a great Thanksgiving? Good. Anybody sick like me? Yeah, there you go. Thanks. So I wasn't in misery by myself, But it was a great time. We had really an awesome time with our family and just hanging out together. And so I hope you were able to do that too. And if not, man, next year come hang out with my family. You're welcome anytime, and we'd love to have you. So today we are in week four of our series called Who Stole My Thanksgiving? Because what happens is a lot of times things, you know, it's easy to sit around the Thanksgiving table and talk about all the things that we're thankful for, but then when we get away from there, we totally forget to be thankful, totally forget to be grateful for all that we've been given. And in fact, there are a lot of things that come into our lives that tend to steal our Thanksgiving, and before we know it, we're griping and complaining, right? I got sick, and it became the thief of my Thanksgiving if I would have continued to let it, but I didn't. I had a great time and enjoyed it, but that's what happens. Things come along and we allow it to steal our joy and to steal our attitude of gratitude. And so today we're going to continue wrap this up with one of the thieves that I believe, if we're all honest in the room, is one that gets us quite often. And it's the thief of weariness. And that thief likes to come along and just totally take us out. We try to get involved in so much stuff and get to do so many things, and you know, there's always something new that we can plug ourselves into that will just drain a little bit more out of us. And so that's one of those things, because here's the thing. It happens in the church, right? We get worn out and weary just being part of a church sometimes because there's a lot going on, all right? So I'm going to tell you about a couple things really fast that I don't want you to get worn out about, all right? So I kind of set the precedence of, okay, we can get worn out, but we're not going to let it wear us out, all right? So here's the first thing is next Saturday from 7 to 9, we're going to have our Great Day giveaway. And if you're not familiar with that, that's an opportunity for us as a church to invest in our community into people who don't have maybe the opportunity to do a lot for themselves. People who found themselves in situations where they have to go from, you know, they have to make decisions on what they're going to spend their money on. Maybe they've been in a domestic situation and they've had to find themselves without and different things. And so we really try to focus that in on those who are in need. We focus in on women who are at the Esther House, who've gone through domestic situations, those who are in Homes of Hope. And we really try to help out single moms and just people who are generally in need. And so we need your donations, clothes, goodies, household items, all kinds of stuff. There's a list in your program of things that we really do need. And then there's one need that is the one that can just keep on giving, and that's that you give your money, okay? Just being straight up, because that allows us to be able to sometimes do more than you could do on your own, because we have a wholesaler who will help us provide some things so that we can get multiple things for what sometimes one person could get on their own. And so we just want to let you know that if you haven't been plugged in, haven't been involved, that's an opportunity for you to do it. And listen, the time is near. It's coming up on this Saturday. And so we're not going to meet again before then. So you need to do it today, or you got to do it one day one night this week, because people will be here to collect the stuff. And so you can come and just drop it off. If nobody's here, put it under the overhang out here. It'll be safe, and they'll take care of it for us. But it's a big deal, and we would love for you to come and hang out here Saturday morning too, and just love on the people that come, because I think that's sometimes one of the biggest pieces of it is they just need to know somebody cares. And we can throw stuff at people and money at people all the time, but I just think sometimes if we'll just give them love, we'll make a huge difference in their life. So I want to invite you to be part of that. And so if you have questions, see Missy or Crystal or Hannah over here. They'll be glad to help you. Raise your hand, stand up, say, ah. Yeah, so they'll be glad to help you out. And then one cool thing coming up is our kids' Christmas play is coming up on the 17th, it'll be that night at 6, and you can come, and our kids are going to entertain us, and we're going to have a great time, and then after that, we'll have some cookies and cocoa and all that good stuff and just hang out together, okay? So there are some things that we don't want you to get worn out about, but we do want you to know about. So here's the thing. Weariness is one of those things that just comes along, and it finds us all because life is just busy. Some of us are like Tattoo, the Basset Hound. Tattoo just was living his life one normal afternoon, when had made up his mind he didn't want to go for a walk. But unfortunately, Tattoo had to go for a walk because his owner forgot that the leash was still partially in the car and shut the car door, and Tattoo was attached now to the car, so Tattoo had to run alongside the car while the owner drove down the road with Tattoo trying to catch up. So they having to drive by a police officer. He sees Tattoo running for all he's got, you know, beside the car. You know, a basset hound, they got legs like this long and they're like this big. And so you can just imagine what that looked like, but I'm not going to demonstrate it anymore. But anyway, so here's Tattoo running down the street, chasing his owner because he's got to, right? And the policeman said, man, that dog was picking him up and putting him down, and pulls him over. And of course, you know, Tattoo's okay. He's just worn out and he's never going to let that leash be put on him again. But some of us are like Tattoo, right? We spend our life picking them up and putting them down all the time. It's always something. If you got a kid or multiple kids, bless you, it's just always something. Because you're just always running from one thing to another. There's jobs, there's school, there's work, there's all the things that come along. And then if you factor in the fact that you have to be husband, wife, you have to be mother, you have to be, you know, family member, you have to be provider, you have to balance a checkbook and all of the things, we just find ourselves getting slap wore out by life. And weariness comes in and it just begins to take over. They did a survey in the 1960s, and they said that in 20 years, the way technology was going, that the average person would only have to work 20 hours a week to get the same amount done because technology would allow us to be able to do more in less time. And so the question was, what are we going to do with all that extra time? Does anybody in here have all that extra time? Because I want to do what you do, okay? Because none of us do, and technology is crazy. I mean, we're up to the Apple 10 now, all right? We went so fast, we just skipped 9 and got there. So it's happening. So why aren't we finding the time? It's because it's like money. You know, you think, well, if I just made this much money, I wouldn't be broke all the time. But when you start making that much money and you find out that you're broke all the time, because we just do it. We get more time, we spend more time. And life begins to wear us out. And this world's become like the world of the Red Queen and Alice in Wonderland. You know, she said, now here, you see, it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place. If you want to get somewhere else, you must run twice as fast as that. I mean, we're already running as fast as we can to keep up where we are. But if we ever want to get ahead, that means we've got to run faster. And I don't know about you, but there's very few times that I feel like running faster. And so life wears us down and we become weary in it. And I think all of us, if we're honest in the room, understand that. Probably all of us have said some things kind of like these statements. Help me finish these out here. The first one is this. I'm ready to throw in the towel. Yeah, we want to do that. I'm at the end of my rope. Yep. I'm just a bundle of. Yeah, there you are. My life is falling apart. I'm at my wits. End, yep. So, and then I feel like resigning from the human race. We just want to unplug completely. You know, but the thing of it is, we're all involved in this thing called the rat race, right? And there's a lot of rats running around. And just remember, whoever wins the rat race, they're still a rat, right? So we're working hard to make this thing happen, but in the end, the harder we work, the more we're going to find that we just have to work even harder to ever see life happen. And so that's where we find ourselves. We're worn out. We're tired. And we need to learn how to experience rest and how to take time to unplug. If we all just needed physical rest, though, you know, we could take a nap. And if we needed emotional rest, you know, we could take a vacation and get away. But what about spiritual rest? Because I believe the reason that we're so worn out is not because we do work all the time and we have all the things to do and all this. I believe we're worn out all the time because we're spiritually worn out. So what do we do? How do we overcome that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because Jesus tells us how. He is very clear. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, it says this, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you. Right? Did he say some of you? No, he said all of you. So that means all of us have the opportunity to find rest. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Not I might, not I could, but I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Anybody in here just want a light burden for a little while? Yeah, Jesus says there's one available. He says there's one there for us. And so I want us to talk about three commands from Jesus that lead us to rest. We all need it. We've all been longing for it and looking for it. And here it is. Now Jesus has given us the opportunity to experience it. Here's the first one. He says, come to me. The command is come to me. If you got your outline there, you can fill in the blank. Come to me. Come to me. Verse 28 there says, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Listen, some of us are carrying some heavy burdens in here. We're dealing with relational issues. We're dealing with, you know, addictions. We're dealing with family members who are just out doing crazy stuff. We're dealing with physical and health issues. There's just financial issues. The list goes on. And some of you got some burdens that nobody else knows about that you're carrying around. And Jesus says, listen, all of you who are carrying those things, come to me. I love that. He just come to me. Makes it really simple, right? I mean, we are struggling. We're wearing ourselves out. And Jesus says, come to me. You know, I got a dog. And when I say, Ginger, come here, you know what she does? No, she doesn't come here. What, are you kidding me? She's hard-headed. And she's stubborn. Right? Jesus says to me, he says, Ron, come to me. I said, I'm good. No, come to me. See, sometimes I dig my own holes because Jesus says, come to me, and I just keep on going where I'm going, trying to do it on my own. Even though I'm doing good things, you know, I'm preaching and teaching and loving people and trying to, you know, showing up at the hospital, doing all the things that I'm supposed to do, but I'm worn out. And why is it? It's because Jesus says, come to me, and I'm not coming to him. And the answer is true for all of us. He says, come to me. And he'll be there for us. It's sometimes we try to make being a Christian about certain things. And lots of times we make it about being at church. And I'm so thankful that you're all here today. And I hope you're all back next Sunday and all of that. But listen, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Right? Walking to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. And walking into a garage doesn't make you a car. Right? So listen, we got to understand that there's more to it. You're at the right place. So don't feel bad. I don't mean to make you feel bad. I just need to help you understand, and for me to understand sometimes, that just doing the church thing isn't what it's all about. It's about the relationship. It's not about gathering information. It's not joining groups. It's not anything like that. It's about having a relationship with him. And the rest that we're looking for is right there with him. And maybe you say, but, you know, man, my life is such a mess, Ron. I can't come right now. I got to fix some things. No. He says, come to me. He doesn't say, hey, go fix yourself and come to me. He says, no, come to me with your burdens. Come to me. What do we find? He said in 6:35, John 6:35, he says, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, whoever comes, listen, I think we've got to be hungry. We're hungry for something. We're spiritually all in need of being fed. That's how it works. Even Jesus went and he got away to be fed with his time with the Lord, or with God. So we need that time with the Lord. We need to be able to do it. And he says, whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. It's a pretty good promise, right? He says in John 7, 37, 38, he says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. He shouted this, right? Jesus shouted. If Jesus shouted this, he wanted people to hear. He says, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from his heart. He shouted because he says, listen, who have you come to me? You won't be hungry. You won't be thirsty. Come to me. Come to me. John 5, verse 39 says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. He's talking to those who thought they knew everything and were looking for the answer in the words. But listen, the scriptures point to me, Jesus says. He is the word. that you refuse to come to me to receive this life? Listen, the answer's there. I got a friend that's struggling with addiction right now. And it kills me because I can't help him. It's bad when you want it more than they want it for themselves. And I know there's people that want it even more for him than I do. But I keep telling him what the answer is, and he just keeps looking somewhere else. The answer's there, y'all. I've looked for it in other places. It's not there. It is here in him. It's in Jesus. If you want eternal life, you got to come to him. If you want rest, come to him. He invites you. He invites me to come. Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. This is that spiritual rest. He says, it's rest for those who are laboring, those who are trying to, by self-effort, make this thing work, who are trying to do all they can so that they hopefully do more good than they do bad, that hopefully that scale will just be balanced just enough to get them good with God. Listen, he says, listen, you got to put that down. You come to me. Let me give you rest, because when you come to him, he gives you the answer, and it's not dependent on how good or bad you are. It's how close, it's the relationship you have with him. He says there's rest for those who are heavy laden, those with burdens, those that stagger under the heavy weight of and burden of sin, living for yourself and possessions and prominence and pleasure. That's a burden. That's trying to make something that's not meant to fill a need, fill a need. And it's not ever going to happen. Nicolas Cage, the actor, said, I wonder if there's a hole in the soul of my generation. We've inherited the American dream. But where do we take it? You see, we can get it. We can all achieve success, and we can achieve those things. But in the end, what do we do with it? We can't take it with us. Harrison Ford, the actor who's grossed over $2 billion in movies, he says, you only want what you ain't got. What ain't he got? Peace was his answer. He didn't have peace. He had all that stuff. I mean, I love Harrison Ford. And we would think he was peaceful, right? That he's got it made. But no, because he doesn't have what really gives you peace. And that's Jesus. He paid the full penalty for our sin. The one thing we can't do for ourselves is for us to make our relationship with God right on our own. We can't do it. It's only through Christ coming and dying on the cross and paying the price for our sin, being the ultimate sacrifice, that we can actually be forgiven by accepting that as our sacrifice and accepting him as our Savior. That's where the peace comes from, knowing that we are made right with God and we have a relationship with him. There's nothing left to pay, to worry about, no more burden to carry on that. The Bible calls it peace with God. And you can come to Jesus by faith and have that and experience it. So we experience rest for our soul by Jesus, following Jesus' command of come to me. But then we also do it by his second command of take my yoke. Take my yoke. Take it upon you. 11:29, the first part says, take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is? I mean, I think we've probably all heard this if you've been around. But a yoke is a piece of wood or whatever that's meant to bring two animals together that joins them in a task so that now not one has to carry the burden, but two can carry it. And so it's lessened and lightened because now there's two to carry it. This yoke now has become something that doesn't make work harder, but it makes it lighter and easier. It's a harness. And so we know that taking this yoke, if we take this illustration that Jesus gave us based on what the New Testament shows us is that rabbis would bring along students to follow them and so they could teach them and they could help them to learn. And so they would bring these students along to learn what it was like to become closer and to be submitted to the teaching of a teacher. And there's two dominant figurative ideas that we see in the scriptures of the New Testament when it comes to this idea. The first one is man's yoke. Man's yoke is when we try to use religion and we try to make religion make things happen for us. That if we can do things right, if we can just let religion be this set of rules and regulations for us to keep us pointed in the right direction, that we can hopefully then make things right with God. The other turn of that is the yoke of Jesus, and it's the yoke of relationship. It's not about what we can do and how close we can follow the rules, but it's now about having this relationship with the one who loved us enough to give his very best for us. And so there's these two ideas here. And so there's this tugging on us all the time of which one are we going to carry? Which one are we going to allow to be strapped around us? Are we going to go with the rules and regulations? I don't know about you, but I've tried those, and they didn't get me anywhere. Or are we going to try the rule of the yoke of relationship, where it's coming to just trust Jesus for who he says he is and allow him to be Lord of my life and to be the one who then guides me and shows me how it is that he wants me to live my life, how he created me to accomplish the things that he created me for. So we talk a lot about purpose, and we got to understand that every single one of us are important. Every single one of us is made for a reason. That God put us together, and he put you together so that you could accomplish things that only you can accomplish. And those things come from being yoked with him in this relationship. Understanding that he loves you and cares about you. Jesus said, my yoke. He says, come take it on you. Come be with me. He commands us to take it and to find rest. There's no rest in rules and regulations. You're always trying to get the next thing right. Coming to Jesus is being able to trust him and know that he's in charge. There's kind of three pictures that come out of this idea of being yoked to Jesus. There's connection. It's this idea of be with me. Jesus is inviting me to be beside him. They're made for two and not one. The yokes are to bring us together. So we weren't meant to live this thing alone. We were meant to live it with him. He gives us direction. He says, follow me. And the idea of yoke, it pictures this forward motion of two connected together. They're not backing up. They're going forward and sharing the load with each other. And Jesus invites us, like, come on, follow me. Just be with me. And then there's cooperation. To be yoked together means that we cooperate with the things that he has. That means we come alongside him and we join him in the things that he's doing. Listen, Great Day Giveaway is about joining him in the things that he's doing. It's about helping people who need to be helped. So we're going to come alongside him and we're going to do that. We're going to minister to those people that come in the door that Saturday morning. We're going to love them. We're going to give them some things that they need. But man, we just want them to know that there's somebody who cares where they are. And Jesus is working there, and we need to join him. We experience only when we obey. See, that's the problem sometimes, is we don't like to obey, do we? We don't like to do things the way that somebody else tells us to. We don't like somebody else to be in charge often. And so sometimes we struggle with that. I know we went down to Operation Christmas Child Friday night, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But we went down, and I was riding with Chad. And Chad said, "Hey, do you want to drive?" And I'm like, "Not really," which was a rare thing for me, because see, I don't like to ride with anybody. I always want to drive. Because why? I always want to be in control. I want to control where we turn, how fast we go, and I want that on me. I have a hard time giving that over to somebody else. Right? And so we're all like that. The bad thing was I felt terrible, and so he had to drive, and so I had to ride with him, but he did good. And so we worked together. I navigated for him. He let me do that, and so we worked good. We made a good team, didn't we, Chad? So we got home, so I'll take that. So, and beat everybody else. So that was good. So we want to be in charge. We want to do it. We want obeying and being submissive is a hard thing for us, but we need to be able to do it. J.H. Jowett, this influential British Protestant pastor in the late 1800s, early 1900s, he nails it with this. Listen, the fatal mistake for the believer is to seek to bear life's load in a single collar. God never intended man to carry his burden alone. Christ, therefore, deals only in yokes. A yoke is a neck harness for two, and the Lord himself pleads to be the one, to be one of the two. He pleads, he asks us to be beside us. He wants to share the labor of any galling task. The secret of peace and victory in the Christian life is found in putting off the taxing collar of self and accepting the master's relaxing yoke. You know what that collar, that single collar looks like, right? It's a noose. That's how we find ourselves when we try to do it on our own. We hang ourselves. We totally put ourselves out of the picture because now we've taken ourselves out. He says, listen, come. He wants to be part of it with you. Come and be yoked beside him and let him carry the burden. The third thing that we learned or that we see from this, that this command is that we need to learn from him. Jesus says, learn from me. Matthew 11:29, the New Living Translation says, let me teach you. Let me teach you. You ever had somebody come up beside you that knew what they were doing? You know, you're struggling trying to put something together and somebody that knows what they're doing just come alongside you and say, hey, let me teach you how to do that. Let me show you how to do it. And so they just take it and they show you, and now you know how, and you all your frustration goes away and all the hard stuff goes away now because you're able to do something because you were taught. Jesus says, let me teach you. I love what this, in Matthew 11 there, what it talks about, the things that he teaches us. It says that he teaches us his gentleness. He's gentle. So he wants to teach us how to be gentle, how to have strength under control, to draw us in and show us that he cares about us and that he wants to know what bothers us. 1 Peter 5:7, one of my favorite scriptures, says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Listen, if there is one scripture and one thing you need to hear today, that, listen, you can give him all of your stuff because he cares. He cares about you and you and you and you and you. He cares about you. He says we can give it all to him. Not only is he gentle, but he teaches us humility as well. Selflessness. Sometimes we can be, as religious people, sometimes we can be kind of arrogant. Sometimes we can be kind of have some bad attitudes because we tend to sometimes act like we got it all together, right? At least we can pretend like we got it all together. And really, what the world is looking for is for us not to have it all together. The world's looking for us to have some issues. The world's looking for, how do we handle our issues? Do we handle them ourselves, or do we give them up to the one we say we believe in and we trust in? So that's where we mess up. For a long time, the church has held the standard of, you have to be perfect. That's why a lot of pastors aren't in the ministry anymore. It's because they've been held to this standard that they had to be perfect. Listen, if you want to hold me to be perfect, that's fine, but you're going to be sadly mistaken and sadly disappointed, because I'm just not. I'll do everything I can to be, but There's just times where I'm going to mess up and fall and I'm going to disappoint you. But I'm going to do it the best I can with everything that God gives me, to do it with grace and love and to be able to trust him in it. And I'm going to encourage you to do the same. See, when it comes to weariness, this rest thing comes out of us being able to just trust him and let him come and show us how to live life the way that he wants us to. If you don't want your Thanksgiving stolen, you got to be able to come to him and let him show you how to live with an attitude of gratitude, how to live with this thankful heart that he wants us to have. See, the rest that he gives is free. And the rest that we find is this great discovery that we find. And once we can finally find it, it's this amazing thing. And we'll want more of it. But there's no need to fear what Jesus may do in your life, because he'll be gentle and humble, and he'll show you how to live it out the way that you were created to do. One day a man went to see a farmer who was plowing his field with this team of oxen, and the man noticed that one of the animals was bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and he had this other one yoked to him. And so he asked the farmer, he said, "Why, you know, what's the difference there?" And the farmer said, "Well, one of them is the oldest ox that I have, and he's my most experienced. And he is the one, he's the best ox I've ever had. And so I've taken this young one and yoked him to him so that he can teach the younger one how to do what it is that needs to be done. So I could strap him to another young one, and the two of them could fight themselves to death trying to pull in opposite directions and everything else. But no, I brought him in and I've yoked him to the experienced one so that now he can show him and teach him how to pull. And they can become more efficient and do a lot more with less energy. And the same is for us. We need to be able to find more mature people around us to be able to do the same thing. But I promise that if you'll come alongside Jesus and be yoked to him in this relationship and let him do in you what he wants to do and to lead you where it is that he wants to lead you, then he'll be able to take you places that you're meant to be. And he'll let you experience things you were meant to experience. And you will find rest in the relationship with him. That you'll be able to come alongside, and now instead of being worn out, so worn down that you can't even be thankful for what you do have, now you can begin to see all the things that he's done and be able to experience even more, because now you have the energy to do it. You have the spiritual stamina because you become yoked now to the one that has invited you to be with him. Come to me. Take my yoke and learn from me. It's just a very simple formula that you and I can plug into our lives today. That we can begin to live this out the way that we were meant to live it out. Or we cannot. Hebrews 4:11 says this: "So let us do our best to enter that rest." He was a poet and didn't know it. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. Listen, you and I can keep doing it on our own, and we can try to make it happen. But he says if we don't learn how to come to him and be yoked with him and learn from him, that surely we're going to wear ourselves out. And we're going to miss out on all the things that he's done for us. And we're going to live a life of weariness and a life of frustration and a life of just being separated from the one who went to the greatest extremes to be joined with us. Today you get to make a choice. As soon as we close out this Thanksgiving season, so to speak, today you can choose to be thankful Thankful that you have Jesus to be yoked to, who's invited you to come and be with him. Or you can just stay tired. What's your choice? God, we pray today that in this place, as we, some of us sit and struggle with the things that are going on in our lives, God, with the many different situations that this room holds today. God, surely there are some tired people here. And God, today I pray that as we come to this moment of being able to make a decision, that God, maybe some people might even be sitting here too tired to even get up and take a step towards you. The spirits are, they're just spent. God, I pray in these moments that as we all come to a moment of deciding what do we do with this. God, I pray there will be some who will decide to accept this invitation that we've been given today to come. To come and take the yoke upon us. To be taught by Jesus, to come to him. Maybe today, come for the very first time, to just come and say, Jesus, I don't know you. But today, I want to know you. I want to know that rest. I want to know the one that gives that rest, the one who's given everything to have a relationship with me. So God, today, for those that are maybe in the room that need to make that decision, I pray that this will be the moment that they would do it. So just simply acknowledge to God something like this. God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I've fallen short. And I know now that because of my sin, I can't have a relationship with you. There's nothing I can do to make that happen. But today I know that Jesus did something to make that happen, and he gave himself on a cross. He died a tragic death for me so I could be forgiven and set free from my sin. God, I know that because of his death and his sacrifice, now my penalty is paid, and I can accept that and be forgiven of my sin and begin a relationship with you. And I know because he was taken off the cross and put into a tomb, and on the third day you raised him from the dead, that relationship's not just for today, but it's for all of eternity. And so today I accept that, and I ask you to forgive me. From this day on, I want you to follow. I want to follow you. I want you to lead me. God, maybe today in this room there's some people that have made that decision and prayed that prayer and accepted Christ, but they've just let themselves be worn out spiritually because they've not grown in that relationship. And so maybe today they just need to acknowledge that and make a commitment to begin to pray. Communicate with you more and to begin to read your word, the Bible, and learn how to live their life. God, today as we wrap up the Thanksgiving season and begin the Christmas season, God, I pray that we would never break the Thanksgiving. Never get away from it. Always being thankful for you and for your son. That as we go through these next several weeks in the celebration of Jesus' birth, God, that we just use that as a ramp up to get ready for Easter. Because that's when your son gave his life and paid the price for us. So God, today may we decide what we need to do with you. May we not hold back. God, that as the band plays, if somebody needs to come forward and pray, may they feel comfortable to do that. May they need to speak to me or Pastor Eddie, may they feel comfortable doing that. If they need to make a decision right where they sit, then God, may they be comfortable to do that. But today, may we all do what you lead us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Pastor Ron said, the altar is open. There's nothing magical about coming.